This is that other sports shit. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and today's show is going to be short but sweet and poetic like every other show, minus the 30 or 40 minutes that we won't be doing the show. Welcome. On my left, my virtual left, I have Mr. Jason Valdez. Jay, say hi.
What's up, y'all?
And myself, Jesse Thomas. Today, we are representing not only ourselves at That Other Sports Show, which you can find on Twitter at TeamToss21, but we also are representing Variety Sports Network based out of St. Louis, Missouri.
Shout out Variety.
Which you can follow them at Variety_Sports_. We got a lot of underscores going on in all of our stuff. See, it's a match made in heaven, folks.
Let me say this too. If you're listening to us on Variety, thank you for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. That's Jesse. I'm Jason. We've been doing this show for probably 10 years, give or take a year. And we like doing sports and talking dumb shit. So there's a lot of podcasts that I'm seeing. And the description is, it's just like a barbershop. Or it's just like two guys hanging out on a back porch just shooting the shit.
Yeah.
I feel like we coined that like a really long time ago.
I think so we did, especially back in our drinking days.
If you're into that, here we are. And if you're not into that, I apologize. Please stick around and thank you for listening regardless.
No, absolutely. If you want something more professional, trust me, they're out there.
Yes.
And they're not hard to find because they're all wearing suits and they all get paid by some network.
They have real microphones,
yes,
and cameras. Jesse and I have real microphones. We just don't use them.
No. Because we can't on Anchor. Thank you, Anchor FM, though, for giving us a free outlet to do our podcast.
Maybe we can use them if we use the Variety Sports. Do they have, like, should we look into that? We don't look into that.
Nah. Yes, right. Yes, we'll look into every avenue, actually. Yeah, so we are here. Again, I want to actually say thank you anyway. Thank you to any of the new Variety Sports Network listeners. Thank you to all the podcasts out there that are also attached to the VSN, hashtag VSN. All of you who are out there, you hear our podcast, say for the first or second time, you're like, damn, all these guys do is talk like life shit. Not even our shit. They're like, oh, they just talk about themselves. Then they talk some MMA and they talk some football. If you want baseball, Variety's got it. If you want hockey, they've got it. As a matter of fact, it seems to me that they're big into hockey. I see a lot of the hockey podcasts going on out there. And they've got all sorts of other stuff. And I don't want to admit that I've listened to every single one. I've listened to one or two fractions. The best thing is that they semi sound like we do. Just some guys, folks sitting around bullshitting, talking about sports. So we fit. It's a good fit.
Do you think they're using mics?
They are using mics. You can tell.
Are we the least professional sounding show on the platform? Is that in play?
You know, for again, I do think that a couple of them also use Anchor. I believe that the Variety Sports Network, whoever runs that,
powered by
Twitter, they actually said that they do a podcast through Anchor as well. If anybody has any ideas how to hook up mics and stuff to work with Anchor FM, please hit us up.
Please.
You can follow Jason at Valdez spelled backwards 559 on Twitter. You can follow me at JTT81 on Twitter. If you have any ideas, hit us up. Even if it's just microphone related, we'll accept those.
Listeners, I have bad news and I have good news. The bad news is if you've come this week for MMA takes, we got nothing. We're going to save our MMA takes for next week. This is a weird week of combat sports. The last 10 days in combat sports have been weird. It's just bad juju with regards to combat sports right now. Did Jose Aldo house a political felon? Did he house and then help move a political? Did Jose Aldo just do that? Jess, did you see that?
Aldo's the king of Brazil for a reason, because he can do things like this.
He's like Scarface.
Allegedly.
Jesus Christ. That's all
he
alleged.
Is Scarface. We just put that together.
Sorry. Thank you.
He is Scarface. That's his nickname, Scarface. He's got the...
He's doing... Is Scarface allegedly doing Scarface shit? So we know Sean Strickland came in at the last moment to replace somebody, to fight somebody. We're going to save that our fight takes for next week, guys. Okay, apologies. We're trying to do a quick show, and we're already about 4 or 5 minutes into just bullshitting your ears already. Jesse, I am going to keep it moving. I have our favorite website up. I am looking at DraftKings, Caesars, FanDuel, BetMGM, PointsBet, BetRivers. I've never even seen BetRivers, but they're on here, so they must be established. They will take their money. I can guarantee you that.
They are allegedly established, and they 100% will take your money.
We have made it to the wild card rounds. I'm sure that we will ebb and flow out of games and talk about teams that are no longer in the playoffs, because that's what we just do on this show. Random shit pops into our head and then we just ask it. So let's start here, Jess. I believe I'm going by the timing of these games, not necessarily the coolness of these games, because I would save Miami Buffalo for the end. But we'll start here. It's the biggest spread I see, and it is a 10 to a 9.5 across the board, but I want to stick with the 10. We'll keep it double digits here. The Seattle Seahawks. And here's the first team that I'm going to just randomly bring up, who eliminated by default the Green Bay Packers, because the Packers lost to Jesse's Lions, is like fourth
Dan
favorite
Campbell.
Team. Dan Campbell is second or third favorite coach. we got to figure out some Aaron Rodgers time here at some point. The Seattle Seahawks, they are a 10-point underdog. The San Francisco 49ers are taking a 10. They are at home. This is the first playoff game, Jess. Who you got?
The 49ers should be double-digit favorites. They will win by double digits. The Seahawks, the Seahawks peaked mid-season. I mean, it's tough to come back when you peak mid-season, because teams catch up to you. Coaching staffs catch up to you. Geno Smith's arm fell off. But I will say, side note, so San Francisco, I'm taking Niners, taking the points. Side note, I really hope that the Seahawks will be able to work out a deal with Geno, because he did happen to break like 6 Seattle Seahawks franchise passing records this season, including Russell Wilson's total passing yards.
That's
absolutely
wild.
Insane.
I think that we've built up the lore of Russell Wilson in our head to just assume that he has like 5,000 yards passing and 30 touchdowns. But realistically, on those teams, he was putting up great numbers, but they weren't like Aaron Rodgers per se, because he was handing the ball off a lot, and those defenses were winning them games too.
Yeah.
All right, Jess, you like the points. You like the Niners.
I do.
I like the Niners. I don't like the points. These in-division games are just so weird, and you're going to get them playing a third time now? I think the Niners win by a touchdown. I think we might have one of these things where the Niners are up 10-14, and then Seattle puts up some points late. You get that backdoor cover, if you will. I like the Niners, and Jess, right now, if you were going to rank NFC teams, would the Niners be number one, or would you still stick Philly in there possibly?
No, at this point in time, if I was going to rank the top three NFC teams, I'm ranking them San Francisco, Philly, and Dallas.
Oh, Dallas 3. I don't even know if I agree with that. I like the Niners. I like the Niners. I like the points. A quick off-road tangent here, Jess, a question for you. When I watched the end of that Packers game, and we've spent 18 weeks putting Aaron Rodgers on different teams, for the first time, I just took a little sip, right? We're not going to drink all the Kool-Aid. I just took a little sip, Jess, of, is Aaron Rodgers going to retire Kool-Aid? I started to really think about it. And maybe he's working me into a shoot, brother. But when I see him hugging Randall Cobb, and he's walking out, and it just seems different to me. And he just seems like he's in a different place. And I wonder if his mindset is, hey, I've won a Super Bowl. I don't want to be taken off on a stretcher like Steve Young. I want to still be able to have to be able to sit upright in 10 years. And I just want to go fuck random girls and be a playboy and smoke exotics and do wild shit. Do you think by any chance, Jess, give me a percentage here, 10%, 30%, 50%, 100%, Aaron Rodgers retires?
I watched the same thing as you did, as along with millions of other people probably. Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't look defeated. He does kind of just look done. He does. At this point in time, pure speculation and just me throwing random numbers out there, I would say he's 90-10. 90 done, 10% still in.
Wow.
And by any chance, by any chance that 10% is real, he wants to come back, I would say 90% he ain't with the Packers next season. He's playing somewhere else.
Yeah. I think, again, I'm just taking sips of the Kool-Aid. So we're taking sips. You can't be more than like 5 or 10 or maybe 15% tops. But that's kind of where I'm at. I can see a scenario where he just goes, yeah, I'm done. I've done it. I've seen it. I don't want to play for another team. I don't want to do all this shit. I saw what Brett did. I don't want to do all that. I want to do it my way, if you will. So I don't know. We'll see. All right. So that tangent over. Let's keep it moving here. Second game. And this one surprises me.
Yeah.
Jacksonville Jaguars are a 1-point underdog at home. And I see two pick'ems, including Caesars, which means they don't want a fucking part of this. The LA, and it always looks like Clippers to me when I see LAC, the Los Angeles Chargers, are a fucking pick'em. And I want to throw it out here now, Jess. West traveling east. They're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. We've been tooting that T-Law, Trevor Lawrence horn for 4 weeks. I've been tooting it for 18. Jess, who you got?
Gut feeling says go Chargers. It's weird to see. I saw a couple evens. I've seen a couple, you know, pushes, which is super weird. But obviously, like you were saying, just certain Vegas outlets or whoever, they don't want nothing to do with this game. And I can understand that. The Chargers for the first 8 games of the season, 9 games of the season, 10 games, mediocre, lots of injuries. Herbert had the elbow thing for a while. You know, Keenan Allen didn't play for like, you know, maybe he missed like maybe 4 or 5 games this season. Mike Williams missed 4, 5, 6 games this season. They're healthy now though. That's what I'm seeing. And I get it. T-Law's been killing it, but if you got to give me like, say a point and a half, I'm going to take the Chargers. I'm going to take the points even on the road.
Yeah. God, you know what, Jess? I just want to fucking – I will be rooting for the Jaguars, but I have a very hard time picking against the Chargers right now. That kid's slinging it, first of all. We were waiting for Herbert all year. It feels like he's kind of coming around. The Chargers defense – listen, defense travels. The Chargers defense isn't bad. And this just feels to me – and this is why I like the one, like a, I mean, maybe like a 17-14, 21-17. I know that's more than one, but it just feels to me like we're going to have a very tight game here coming down with 2-3 minutes and Herbert's able to sling him, get him a field goal, and they get it a dodge or the win.
Yeah.
I'm going Chargers. I don't love the pick. There's a reason Vegas is a pick'em. There's a reason we're seeing ones and 1.5s across the board, because this is just a fucking pick'em. So I think you and I are on the same page.
The reason being is that Jacksonville ain't won a conference championship since Mark Brunell in like whatever, you know, 2000 or something like that. It's been a crazy season. I think that we called it earlier too, that this year have a few elites at the top and a ton of that mid-range right there in the middle. A lot of mid-range. And just a few real shitty teams at the bottom. And if you look at the records, you look at how the NFL's kind of gone this year, I think that we kind of nailed that part.
And I'm going to say this in our next game, so I can preference it by saying this. I think you always have one, sometimes two, really bad wild card games. I think last year, the year before, it was like, damn, we had four bad, like every wild card game was a banger. That's rare. You're going to have one, maybe two, really stinky ones. It happens. It's just great team playing a bad team. Great teams rolling, bad teams missing a few parts. It fucking happens. And then you know, by halftime, you're like, well, that's what the fuck else is on? What can I watch for an hour and a half while I wait for the next game to start? And here we are, the Miami Dolphins, the Buffalo Bills, second highest spread. Jesse, you and I were full fucking doom and gloom last show. I listened back to it. And, you know me, I rarely listen back to shows. And sometimes when I do, I just listen to specific parts. We were doing some doom and gloom with the Buffalo Bills. And rightfully fucking so.
Deservedly so.
We had no idea what was going on with that kid last Wednesday around noon when we taped this show. As opposed to now, I feel like the fucking kid has made a miraculous comeback. I don't even know if comeback's the right word, but a miraculous recovery.
Recovery.
The kid, we thought, listen, and we're not going to spend a ton of time on it, Jess, right? But here's the deal. If you're a person that believes in faith, well, guess what? This guy had an entire nation praying for him. I don't mean to do the God is good thing, but good Lord, I don't know how you say it ain't. Jess, we were full doom and gloom. I did not like the Bills last week, and without two fucking special teams touchdowns, I probably would have been right. They are the second highest favorite, 9.5, 9.5, 9, 9.5, 9.5, 9.5. So we're going to go with the 9.5, Jess. 9.5-point favorite, the Miami Dolphins, and I don't think they're going to do it. They might stick Zombie Tua out there. I hope they don't, but football is a cold game. You stick two out there. I still like the 9.5, Jess. I'm showing you my hand. Who you got?
I just want to say I want to start this by saying Buffalo. I know a lot of teams have had strange years this year, but the Buffalo Bills have had a very strange year. You got that shooting at that Buffalo store, right? You got the terrible, like, where it snowed like 8 feet, okay, and that happened for like a week straight. You got, like, there's some other, like winter stuff that happened. Yeah, there's some other.
Hey, listen, you had some weird-ass games. And
weird games.
To my opinion, the greatest catch ever in the history of games happened on you.
In a game where Buffalo was up double digits at halftime, which has actually happened a couple of times. Yes. I'm going to go on record as saying right now that DeMar Hamlin, the young man who suffered the cardiac arrest after the hit in the chest on the play during the Cincinnati Bengals game in Cincinnati, Ohio. This young man did more than just raise awareness for safety in football games and get a whole entire nation to basically come together as one for the first time in years. Like, it hasn't happened since, you know, like probably since the Twin Tower incident and the terrorist attack there. I mean, you're talking about a whole entire nation gave up everything, all their hate, all their bitterness, all their bias, and they all came together and everybody is praying for stuff and everybody's, you know, wishing good vibes. He not only did that, but he saved the Bills' wild card, or he saved their seeding. The Buffalo Bills, I guarantee right now, would have lost 31-17 to the Bengals. Mm. That first drive by Cincinnati was like a hot-ass knife through butter. Buffalo had no answers. They wouldn't have had answers. Josh Allen would have done his best to play Cowboy and catch up late in the game, but the Bills would have lost that game. They would have went on to go beat the New England Patriots, which that game scared the hell out of me as well. This game, the only thing I'm taking into account is this. Teddy Bridgewater is supposedly going to start this game for the Miami Dolphins. You do not have Tua. Tua's head is still not on straight. Doctors still won't release him from what I've heard so far. Teddy Spaghetti Legs is going to start this game and play. I like the 9.5 points. The Bills have proved to be a big, big, big second half team. And the Miami Dolphins barely squeak by the New York Jets. 9-6. So I'm taking the Bills in this game with Teddy Spaghetti Legs playing for them, and I'm going to take the points.
I think you missed the most recent that and came together, and it was when Skip Bayless sent that tweet and 107 American individually dunked on him in the replies and the quote tweets. Celebrities, children, women, dogs were using the just negative vile shit.
The most hated man in America for like a day.
But listen, you don't want to be that guy. There's that like one. Yeah, I love the 9.5, the 10. I think injured, banged up Miami team that snuck their way in the back door. Can they make some explosive plays with Tyreek? Yeah. Receivers, yeah. Is coach going to try and get that offense in a unique one-on-one scenario? Yeah, I just don't think it's going to be enough. I think Buffalo's going to be able to score on that defense and maybe not score it well, but I can see this getting into the 30s for Buffalo. I can see this something like 31-17, 31-20. I think we're going to have a game early because it's an in-division game. And then we're
for
just
the third time this year.
And which I mentioned earlier, you know, I don't like to take big spreads. I don't like to look like a fucking like I'm a hypocrite here, but this Miami is so fucking banged up, and they're a completely different team without Tua. Tua operates differently. The fluidity of the offense is different, and we love Teddy Spaghetti Legs, Jess, but he's just not the same quarterback, and the offense is different. Again, maybe they can get a few dynamic plays and put some points up and keep it close early. I think it gets messy late. And I like the points. All right, game three. The New York football. You know, let's give Daniel Jones a little bit of credit, all right? We just urinated all over this guy for about 10, 11 weeks consecutively. And then we just didn't talk about him. So we did the thing where we just kind of swept him under the rug. But he played well enough to get the Giants in the playoffs. And the NFC East has three teams in the guy top heavy. They're a three-point dog on the road versus the Minnesota Vikings. This year's Jekyll and Hyde, if you will, Jess. Who you got?
This year, last year's, year before. Cousins listening.
Did he just infiltrate Anchor and
Blog? He's like, his spidey senses went off. He's like, people are talking shit about me again.
He has those big scissors, like the pruning shears. He's like, fuck this, negativity haters. Slice the cord and fuck this all up. All right.
Fuck your internet service. Who you got? Minnesota is, they're crazy, man. I don't know. I mean, we've seen Kirk Cousins do this with the Washington football team because their real name sucks. The Washington football team, when he was there, they did the same thing. He won a bunch of games, regular season games.
They go 10 and 6, they go 11 and 5.
You know, 10 and 6, 11 and 5. They make a little playoff run. And they lose, or they lose at the end of the season when they had to get into the playoffs to win a game to get into the playoffs. And now we see the Minnesota Vikings, and I hear this, and I'm sure you have as well, and everybody else who listens to, you know, NFL talk. I've heard that they are possibly the worst 12-4 football team to ever exist. Like, no one knows what's their identity. Is it Dalvin Cook in the run game? Is it Justin Jefferson in the pass game? Is it Kirk Cousins himself? Is he the, you know what? I'm just going to tell you right now that if there was a time that I would like to root for the Giants or at least pick the Giants, that it's now. I'm going to stay safe, say Kirk Cousins can get past Daniel Jones in the New York football Giants. I can't remember what the points are.
3 points.
3 points. I like the points. I can see this being like a 6-point game. You know, I think that the Giants will be able to hang tough for a good two and a half quarters. before Minnesota really opens it up. New York Football Giants has a tough defensive line, and their secondary is not bad, bad. And so I can see Kirk Cousins getting put on his ass a few times, maybe throwing a pick, maybe two, and the Giants defense kind of keeping him in. But it'll definitely get away from him late. I'm taking Kirk Cousins in the points.
Yeah, so we disagree here. This is where I'm going with my upset special. I don't think it's that big of an upset because I don't. I think at home that something smells funny here. This is gonna be Eli Manning, nasty New York Giants. They doesn't turn the ball over yards. He throws for like 240.
Rushes for 50 or 60.
Saquon in the Saquon show, just eating it. And I think Minnesota is going to have problems offensively. I think they're going to struggle. This defense is good, not great. And I think what is their identity? And I'm was just like you did. Are they a run team? Do they have to pass a times when you've got those two great running backs? Is it just going to be a Cousins balls and forcing balls and forcing balls to Jefferson, and it just finally intercepted? The playoff games where I can see Minnesota turning the ball over twice. I'll end something like 2017. You know this, but like the Giants here. Minnesota's kind of been a fraud here. These teams. So I'll just transition to this. Speaking of teams that playoffs here, the Baltimore Ravens, 7 across the Bengals, and I'm going to take the Bengals, take the Bills, and take who's the other great team in the AFC? I'll say the Bills. Who's the Chiefs, and take the quarterbacks off of those teams. But it's probably Cincinnati. I never thought about it like that. I never thought about it because my favorite. They're don't know if Lamar is gonna play. And I'll have after
yeah. Hey, real quick, man. I'll obviously edit this part out, but like we're breaking up really, really bad right now. Like,
am I breaking up?
Yeah, I don't know if I am. It sounded like I was too for a little bit. You sound okay right now, but
that's good.
Your whole take on the Giants like the end of your Giants take and the beginning of the Bengals stuff. Like I couldn't really hear a lot.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So hopefully it comes through.
Edit that all out and start over. All right.
Yeah, okay. Start over with the Bengals. Bengals.
There it is. Bengals. Baltimore Ravens, 7-point favorites, the Bengals. But quick tangent, Jeff Narlowski. The Bengals take the Chiefs, take Buffalo Bills, them, and who still has the best team? Anybody. And I said, God damn, he's my ass. With all that said, I have no idea if Lamar is playing. Who you got?
I'm going to take the Bengals. I believe that the Bengals right now are playing the best football out of all those teams you even just mentioned, including the Philadelphia Eagles, if you want to throw them in, and including the San Francisco 49ers, who've won 10 straight games in a row. The Cincinnati Bengals just look phenomenal right now. Joe Burrow is on fire. He's got ice flowing through his veins. Joe Mixon's picking up yards here and there. Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, they're out there catching a bunch of passes. Jamar Chase out there catching some passes. Not having the season he had last season, but he's definitely still like a contributor and a heavy contributor at that. And that defense, although not, I'm sure that there's not a lot of Pro Bowlers on that defense. Collectively as a unit, they are so solid up front, just a bunch of heavy run stoppers, and they do have the ability and can get after the quarterback. But Cincinnati Bengals all over that 7 points. I'm not saying it's going to be 20 points, 14 points. I think it's going to be somewhere around 10. The highest point total I would give Cincinnati right now is like a 13. But if you're giving me a now, I'm going to take the numbers and I'm going to take the Bengals.
Jess, give me your over-under on games Lamar Jackson plays for the Baltimore Ravens in 2023-24. Over-under, half a game.
Oh, over.
Wow.
Over. No chance. I think he resigns.
No chance.
No. He.
Really?
Okay, so again, like, you and I both say this a lot. We talk about, you know, when it comes to certain teams, you just kind of take the – if they're evenly matched, you just take the better quarterback. Lamar Jackson is not the passer, you know, that Patrick Mahomes may be. He doesn't have the weird innate ability to run like Josh Allen. Like, he can run and he can make plays, but he can't – you know, like, there's plays that Josh – and he's – they're different players. He doesn't have the accuracy. He doesn't have the talent that either of those quarterbacks have. But if you're going to sit here and tell me, like, you know, oh, well, if I'm the GM of the Baltimore Ravens, I'm like, hey, who are we going to trade Lamar Jackson to? Are we going to trade him for a pick? Who are you going to draft?
That's where there's not
a true top five quarterback coming out of this draft. You can tell me I'm wrong, so. And you can put up. There is not a true top five quarterback in this draft.
You don't love that Georgia kid?
No, I don't. And Stetson Bennett actually just declared for another year at Georgia.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Well, who's the kid that everybody's fucking knocking themselves over?
So you're probably talking about, I believe, Caleb Williams or C.J. Stroud. Stroud over at Ohio State. Caleb Williams over there. C.J. Stroud has the possibility to be a – I'm trying to think of an upside quarterback for him. I mean, he may be able to come in and shock the world a little bit, maybe pull off some Jalen Hurts type shit, but I don't see it. Stroud's he's been given ample NFL talent on a collegiate team to just throw the ball around and make plays. There are some plays where you just kind of are baffled at, like, why he just threw that football or why he decided to pull the ball down and run. He's gonna need refining to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Caleb Williams over there in USC, Heisman Trophy this year, changed the culture basically over there at Southern Cal. Him and Lincoln Riley. Again, he needs refining. He's not a day one starting NFL quarterback. We're talking Justin Fields type guys right now. Everybody that's coming out of the draft, those first three, four, five quarterbacks, they're all Justin Fields-like quarterbacks. They're going to need to be refined and get time, both in the film room, as well as some time in the practice field, and at some point in time, maybe come in and play a game or two on the field. But these guys are not day one starters. They're not coming in, and, you know, if the Seattle Seahawks or somebody, you know, say, you know, they decide, hey, you know what, I'm going to go and pick a quarterback up. They're not taking the Seattle Seahawks to the playoffs. They're not, you know, Geno Smith needs to be in Seattle. That's why I said I hope that he gets re-signed, because there's not a quarterback in this draft that I can see going to Seattle and playing better than what Geno just played. And I'm just saying the same thing right now.
If you're the Texans, which one of those guys would you prefer?
I mean, if I had to pick Stroud or Williams, I guess I'm going with Stroud. I think he's got a little bit more upside. He's got a little bit more size to him. But again, like, I'm not drafting him with the hopes that he's going to be my day one guy. If you're a top five, top seven picking team in the draft and you need a quarterback, and we all say top five talent, basically top 10 is basically a pick 'em unless you truly need a position, because all these guys are going to be talented. But if what you need is a quarterback and what you do want to do is get a quarterback in the draft, you best damn have a veteran on your team that can play at least for a season at most, or in the least, before one of these guys decide to strap up and start for you the next year. Because these guys are not, they're going to pull Desmond Ridder. You know, we've had a couple other rookie quarterbacks this year play. Justin Fields has had a very tumultuous time in Chicago. And you can blame it on, well, he don't have this, or he doesn't have that, or the defense sucks, or the coaching staff. You have to pick in the draft determined by the talent of the player and how best he fits your system. And none of these quarterbacks can come in and be day one guys.
That's a great take. By the way, I like Cincinnati. I love the points. I don't care if Lamar plays or not.
Yeah.
I'm into the allure of, is he going to force his way out? Is he going to, because he has no agent, he doesn't have an agent. So it's not like most players who have an agent who can fucking shop around and look around and make those calls. This is the unique thing about being your own agent, and this is why I think it hurts him more than helps him. I think he's also taking a lot of this personally, which is why you need to have an agent there so you're not getting your feelings hurt during these negotiations, because that's clearly what's fucking happening. And I also think that he has some issues with the coaching staff. I don't know if it's Harbaugh doesn't like him or he doesn't like Harbaugh or what's going on. But this is a big where there's smoke, there's fire to me. And me personally, I would not be surprised if he's not on that roster next year. That's me. I'm not saying it's a done deal. I think that, again, smoke, there's fire, and it would not surprise me if he's gone. Echo everything that you just said, though, about this game, Jess. Bengals are rolling on all cylinders right now. Their passing game's great. Their running game's great. Their defensive line's holding up. I don't want to say this is good team, bad team, but when if you don't have Lamar, and if Lamar comes in and he's not 100% and he can't do Lamar things, I like the Bengals. I like the Bengals by like 10 here. Jess, we've reached my team.
Here we go.
My absolute America's team. You know, I want to preview and preference by saying this, Jess. I spent several weeks, pretty much two-thirds of the NFL season, post-Tom Brady divorce, saying, man, don't want to be that team in the playoffs with 2 minutes left. And you're only up 4 points, and Tom Brady's getting that ball. And fucking lo and behold, here we are. Dallas is a 2.5-point favorite on the road, which tells me Vegas is smelling something. Who you got?
I think that the points right now are completely based off of Dak Prescott's last game. Week 18 did not
makes
go
sense.
Dallas Cowboys. I get it. Like, that game is going to scare off a lot of bettors. It's a tough game to try to, like, you know, prove something. Their starters played, the defense played, everybody played. They ended up losing that game. It wasn't pretty. Dak didn't play well. But I believe that the Dallas Cowboys can, at least in the least, find a way to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers did not look good. They haven't looked good for probably 6 weeks. Brady's been able to pull some crazy miracles out of his ass, but that's Brady stuff that he's done his whole entire career. I believe that this is possibly Tom Brady's last game in the NFL.
Ooh.
I think that the Dallas Cowboys are going to come away with a win. I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think that it's going to be a game where Dallas is probably up like 10-6 at halftime. Maybe look at something like 23, 17 being a final score type thing. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense is still good. Tom Brady's still going to make some plays. But let's be real, man. The Dallas Cowboys defense is something that's completely different than what Tom Brady has been used to playing against. And he's not been very good against those defenses. I can only imagine what Micah Parsons and those guys are going to do to Brady in a playoff game.
Yeah, flat-footed Brady versus the speed of that front seven, it should equal a disaster. I am, much like all pessimistic Cowboys fans, worried about what we saw last week, right? At some point, McCarthy should have fucked around and pulled those starters at halftime, regardless what that score was. I don't know if the team was disinterested or what the fuck was going on, but that just, that was a lose-lose. Again, stylistically, I like what I see. I think that Dallas has to find a way to put up at least 20, 24 points here. You're going to get that Mike Evans bomb. You know it's coming, if not two. Diggs is going to be on him. You got to hope Diggs can contain him. Diggs is going to have a lot of elite matchups here in the next few weeks, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. But this is the ultimate tell-all game for the Cowboys with regards to if we see if they were the frauds this year. And if they were able to just, I don't know how to describe it other than say win the winnable games, but also choke due to bad coaching when it matters in the playoffs. Because I've said this several times, and I've said this since McCarthy's become coach, I'm not a big fan. And I think these are the games where we've seen him outplayed. These are the games where you systematically cannot make small errors. Attention to detail. You got to be Belichick. You got to be Tomlin. You got to be these guys. And he just seems to err in the big moment. I think about last year's playoff, those last 15, 20 seconds or whatever it was in that game they ended up losing where they got eliminated. And that was just because of just bad coaching and not, you know, not everybody being on speed with what needs to happen. The discipline, if you will, I talked about it last year. I'm going Dallas. I'm going the points. I think it's going to be something like 24-20, 27-20. But again, I hate the idea. And it would not surprise me if there's 2 minutes left and they're down and Tom Brady's got that ball. And we see one more glimpse of that fucking Brady magic. I've been talking about it for 2/3 of the season, Jess. I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm still
going down.
That old
man magic going to pop up and bite you in the ass. And, I don't think it happens this week. I don't think it happens.
My hot take is that
I think Brady, this is his last game. I think he's done.
The irony of me saying this for X amount of weeks, only for it to end against my Dallas Cowboys, would be the ultimate slap in the face. I also think that Brady has some type of off the fucking record handshake deal with the Gruden family in Vegas. And I think by hook or crook, he's going to be the quarterback in Vegas next year. And I think it's going to end very, very badly. I do. It's going to end very badly.
A guy like Brady, I feel, is driven, obviously. Like, I mean, if you look at, like, you know, what's been going on with him, his relational life and everything, like, he kind of chose, like, a lot of the evidence clearly shows that he chose football over a normal family life, and he chose football to come back and play. I mean, statistically not a bad season, had a great season, 5,000 yards passing, a bunch of touchdowns, got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the playoffs with an 8-9 record. It's amazing, right?
And they were beat up all year.
But next year, Brady, unless he gets that super juice, you know what I mean? Like, Brady ain't getting any faster. He ain't throwing the ball any farther. And let's face it, his accuracy has gone down this season. His numbers may not have gone down, but accuracy, percentage-wise, he's gone down. So those all add up to if he decides to play next year and he goes to the Las Vegas Raiders or wherever. I mean, I've heard, you know, the Raiders a lot. Devontae Adams is not going to save his career. If Mike Evans can't do it and Chris Godwin and these guys that he's got to throw the ball around to, Devontae by himself is not going to save this man's career. Darren Waller is not going to save this man's career. And Josh Jacobs might not even be in Las Vegas next season. So he's a free agent. So I like it. Like you said, if it happens, it's disaster in the making.
Nah, I don't like it. Jess, we've made it. Hit the wrap it up button, I say.
All right, folks, that's the wild card playoffs for you, both AFC and NFC. We covered all games, all lines. We gave you our thoughts. We gave you the over-unders, and we took what we did. I hope that you enjoy the picks. I hope you enjoy the commentary. And I hope that you enjoy the show. If you do, please follow us on Twitter. It's our only form of social media. Please go and follow Jason at Valdez, spelled backwards, 559. Please follow myself at JTT81 and follow the pod at TeamToss21. And again, representing Variety Sports Network, please follow them at Twitter at Variety_sports_, and follow anyone that's attached to any of us, please. Folks, that's it. Enjoy the rest of your week and enjoy some good football coming up.
Bees gone.